This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Steph is the most unique superstar of all time. He broke barriers. He changed the game. And what he does really to this day is unique to himself. I just can't even imagine anybody doing the stuff he does. But it's different. The way he impacts the game is different. And so when you have these conversations about who's the greatest ever, you automatically go to these genetic marvels. LeBron and Michael Jordan and, Will Chamberlain, whoever else. Steph doesn't fit that normal mold. So I love that Shaq is bringing that up, because from a skill standpoint, it's not even close. He is the greatest ever from a skill standpoint.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
I don't know that it's the first time I've heard someone say it that way, maybe as firmly as I've heard him say it, and maybe that's a good way to look at it. When it comes to skills, just skills, ball skills, Steph Curry is the greatest ever, and it's not even close. And that does kind of make sense. I mean, every other name that you're going to hear come up in a conversation like that, all of them are going to be 6'6 or bigger.
Yep.
All of them. And some of them are going to be 6'10 and bigger. And then there's Steph, who, by the way, is not 6'3. He's 6'2, maybe. And to see him still doing what he's doing, to do it at this age, to do it with this effectiveness, to do it with that smile and everything that emanates from him. I don't know, man. I don't know how you can overstate it.
It's interesting, and when Shaq says what he says, then yeah, it puts a lot more heft into it, and he represents all big men. He's the president of the Big Man Association, so yeah, you can put that out there. But if you want to talk about greatest player in the history of the NBA, I don't think you get past 12, 13, 14 without Steph, whatever that number is.
Yeah.
But if you want to talk about the greatest athletes in the history of the NBA, he's probably around 519, like, of just pure athleticism.
Right, raw athleticism.
Guys like, Kevin Willis and Dwight Howard, and, you could run down all the list of incredible physical freaks and bodies, and like Shaq's talking about,
LeBron,
right?
LeBron is number one, if you ask me. Like,
right.
He's a freight train plays like a small guard.
But like Michael Jordan and Dominique and all these other incredible athletes. Like Larry Bird, if you ranked him as an athlete, he'd probably rank 1,719.
He'd be just ahead of Chris Mullin.
Right, but as a player, Larry Bird is top 20 of all time. So Steph is in that same bucket of not as good of an athlete, but his skills, like Steve was saying, his dribbling, passing, shooting, hand-eye, all the skills that you need to be a good basketball player, he's at or near the top of all of them.
No doubt, and I would say the reason that he doesn't compare to all of the other names that are on the list is because that they don't compare to him. Like, that's it, and if you know, you know. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, you can't compare. There's never been anything like this. There's just never been anything like this. But we're also getting into the whole Jimmy Butler of it all. I thought, Steve was honest in his response when we said, look, there's no way you thought that it was going to go this well, this fast. And he was like, well, I hoped.
Right.
But like, you just don't know. You don't know until you see it. And that's, I guess, what I'm struggling with today. I don't even know if I believe what I'm seeing. Because if you really go deep into what we're seeing, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. You can't just acquire one player and then click overnight. Now you just don't lose. You're just amazing. And everybody's had their 35th birthday, and everybody just starts smiling at each other, and they look like they've been playing together for 5 years. And now all these role players are like, oh, I know how to play basketball too. Watch this. Buddy Hield's hitting three-pointers again. Pods looks like Pods.
Yep.
Joe Lacob doesn't sound ridiculous anymore for saying Pods is a future, like, big-time player. All of this just snap happens at once. I'm sorry. That still does not compute to me as I sit here and watch it happen.
Right, but I do think about it in terms of a baseball lineup where you've got a lineup and you've got a couple of good hitters and you've got two or three guys who are pretty good, and then you go out in the trade deadline and you get a real number three hitter. Back when your number three hitter was your best hitter, I know now that you put your best hitter at leadoff, but for the sake of the argument, you bring in Jimmy Butler, who now hits third, and so everyone else gets to move down, and you have protection in your lineup, and so a guy like Pods, who you were hitting sixth, he's now hitting seventh, and so his production at seven is a lot better, and everyone else in your lineup now is going to look better because you got to pitch around Jimmy Butler. You already were pitching around Steph, and Draymond could do damage, and so the rest of your team, I think, naturally gets better, and it's a little like the 49ers when they got Christian McCaffrey. So now you have McCaffrey,
yeah,
and you can't just key on McCaffrey because you got Kittle and Debo and Ayuk, and you've got all these other players that you have to worry about, and now you add McCaffrey in there, and so everybody who's already good, they get a little bit better.
Yeah, let's take some phone calls. 888-957-9570. Elena in Arizona. Hey, Elena, what's going on?
Hi, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're great. What's up?
So, I get that you're surprised, and I'm, like, as surprised as you guys and how fast they've kind of evolved. But when I thought of it, in a sense, after, like, you know, it's settled down, and when you think about it, I just feel like him kind of being in there kind of bumped everybody down to their actual role and position. Because I feel like they were just all playing out of their role. Like, Kajumski is a lot of more of, like, a combo guard, but he's more of a shooting guard, even though he's not shooting pretty well, than actual point guard. He doesn't really know how to start a play. He knows how to continue a play. So, like, stuff like that. Just small things. Everybody's just, like, kind of, like, playing into their role because you have finally found somebody who can, you know, make plays and settle everybody down. I feel like they're just so frantic as a team. And you have, like, that calming voice. Even to Draymond, I don't know if you noticed, but when he got frustrated, he literally took the ball from Draymond and started, like, handling the ball when it, like, it came to the Orlando game, even to the Knicks game. So I feel like everybody kind of just started settling down a little bit.
I like that phrase, Elena, and thank you for the call. Yeah. You know, she twice said this has settled everybody down. And if you think about individually where each of them were, Moses Moody has been on a 2-year fight to get into the game. Brandon Pajemski, what did we keep hearing about him first half of the season before the injury? He's pressing. He's sophomore slump. He's trying to live up to all of the words that were used in the offseason. Well, all of these things, and then Steph, he's the physical one. Like, these are all mental things that we're talking about. Jonathan Kuminga and a contract. But then there's Steph, and there's a physical problem. Like, all the defenders are just on you. So there you go. You're 36, and everyone's guarding you, and nobody cares about anybody else because they're all mentally fragmented around the three-point arc waiting for you. And so the whole thing, she's right. Jimmy comes in, and it's twofold. The physical side is it allows everybody to fall into their rightful slot. And then there's the mental side, which is that he brought some sort of calm, cool confidence, some sort of that vibe that made you feel like, okay, now we belong. He brought it in, and he brought it in fast. That's what still gets me. Like, it's not just the fit. It's the fact that this seemingly happened after, remember, one half of basketball.
Yeah, they scary.
They played in Chicago.
This trade won't work.
They sucked. And then halftime hit, and they haven't stopped since. It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is.
It can't happen that fast. It just can't, but it has.
It has, and, you know, 10-2 since he came, 10-1 when he plays, and what Elena said, I think, that is really cogent is the way he slows it down, and part of the way he slows it down is by getting to the foul line. So if things are going sideways, and if you are, you know, ramshackle, you're going up and down and you're not really in control of the game. Jimmy gets the ball. Jimmy gets to the foul line. He draws the foul. Now we're going to shoot two. So now the game slows down. You've got free throws. And if he makes the free throws, which he's a good free throw shooter.
Very good.
Now you have a chance to set your defense. So instead of the dreaded live ball turnover, which is what this team has been so bad at the last couple of years, where you throw it away, the other team gets it, live ball, they go down and score. Now you're taking it out of your own hoop, and you just gave up 2 or 3 points, and now you have to try to put it together and get down and get a bucket. Instead, Jimmy Butler doesn't turn it over really ever, like once a game is his average, and he gets to the foul line. So even if things are going south, if you're, you know, the team's on a 9-2 run to the negative, Jimmy has a chance to get to the foul line and slow everything down, go in there and chill it out, hit a couple free throws, and reset the game.
I'd like to go back to that booth at Splash for a few reasons. First of all, that smash burger is delicious, and so are the nachos that I tried over the weekend. But it was at that booth at Splash. I'll never forget it. We sat at that booth at Splash, and I just sat there and worried in all kinds of different directions about what the Warriors had just done in acquiring Jimmy Butler. And, you know, reminder number 8,342 that what you worry about in life rarely happens, about 20% of the time maybe. And you know what? Maybe what I was worried about will happen. Maybe that this will be bad in a year and a half.
Maybe
it'll be bad. But you know what? At this point, who cares? Like, there's no way that even the most optimistic Jimmy Butler fan could have thought the Warriors were going to snap their fingers and look like this.
I didn't think that everyone would be better. Brandon Podziemski is a plus 120 in the games that played since Jimmy Butler's been here.
Come on.
Plus 120,
Mark. He's only played 10 games. That means that he is he's averaging plus double digits per game.
Yeah.
Come on, man. That's not possible.
It's not possible.
Very good.
It's a two.
It's
I'll
a
take
two.
It.
It's 2.5.
A 3 from Grandy. All right.
Yeah, Grandy's in a good mood. He's a champ. Yeah. Sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. I mean, is this even in the realm of your imagination? What's happening with the Dubs? 888-957-9570. We'll keep taking your phone calls on Willard and Dibs.
Gee has the rebound and hands it off to Kerr. Steph across the timeline. Warriors up 4, 97-93. Still not in clutch time yet. That'll be in 25 seconds. Draymond Green back to the basket, right baseline. Jab step out the post. Post on the right wing. Giving it back to Draymond. Split action for Steph. Right angle three in the air. Drilled in! Oh, yeah! And does a little jig afterwards. A little shoulder shimmer.
Now back to Willard and Dibs. Take it away, Mark.
All I want for all of you in life is to have as much fun with whatever you do as Kevin Dana does with what he does.
A little shoulder shimmer.
Yeah.
He makes the most of it when he fills in for Tim Roy.
Yes,
that's for
he
sure.
does.
And
yes.
He does the same thing in Santa Cruz. I've heard some of his broadcasts. He's equally exuberant, but I think he brings it a little bit harder. Shoulder shimmer when he fills in for Tim with a big club.
Oh, gosh. Yep, that's funny. And that's Kevin Dana. That'll stick with you. Kind of like what the Warriors are doing right now. Like, let's be real. Did any of you think that anything like this was this possible this fast? Like, what are we doing? What in the hell is happening? Back-to-back, going up against the Knicks. And whoever you were who texted in or was on YouTube or whatever, yeah, but they didn't have Towns. Oh, my God.
Okay. And the Bucks didn't have Giannis.
Sure.
Fair.
Karl Anthony Towns is not even their best player.
Dallas didn't have Anthony Davis or Luka.
Yeah.
They had Kyrie.
Well, again, Warriors didn't have Kuminga. So how about that?
Yeah.
I mean, no, but really.
Right.
Don't diminish what is clearly difficult. Look around the league. They're not playing anybody. Yeah, they are. They're on the road. Nobody else is doing this. I mean, there's a few other teams doing this, and they're all getting the praise, too. The Lakers are doing this. They've moved into the two seed, and people are legitimately scared of that team.
As you should be.
And they should be.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. There is no way, no how, that what we're looking at is actually happening. You cannot convince me that it was that easy for Jimmy Butler to walk in and just be like, click, and suddenly everything's working. In fact, you know what the real big thing is? Because to me, this is the characteristic of all great athletes and teams, which is that they win even when they're not at their best. Because nobody's at their best every single night. They win when they're not at their best. And we've seen that. The Warriors have not been completely that consistent. They've not been at their best every single night, but only a couple of times in the last 3 weeks has that led to them losing a basketball game. That's what you should be most excited about.
Yeah, Philly was a case where Quentin Grimes went off, and he was unguardable, and they, as a team, shot damn near 60%. And so, yeah, a little bit of a
tip. Jimmy didn't play.
You tipped the cap because Philly was amazing, and you lost to Dallas because Kyrie was unguardable. But you mentioned it, like the Orlando game, where you didn't get a lot from the others. Quentin Post was 7 of 9 with 18 points, but Steph was otherworldly with 56, and if Steph doesn't go for 56, you probably lose that game. You had two against Charlotte, which, okay, fine. Charlotte's one of the worst, if not the worst. Turns out Washington's beaten Charlotte three times this year or four times. So among Washington's wins, the majority of them are against Charlotte. So, yeah, they're terrible. That's two of your wins. But I think about last night where New York, yes, without Karl Anthony Towns, I get it, but they're at home, you're in the middle of a long road trip, and New York had you down by double digits, yet you just pulled up your socks and you got after it in the third quarter and you flipped that game.
Crazy, crazy. All right, let's hear from y'all, okay? 888-957-9570, Gary in Concord. Hi, Gary. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I think this is, it's all about perspective, right? I remember when the Warriors were horrible, the 20 win seasons and stuff. And, you know, I try to explain to my son, who's 21 now, that what he's seeing, what he's experienced is so outside the realm of norm that he can't grasp how unreal this has been the last decade of watching Steph, not just Steph as the player, but Steph as the human being, and furthermore, Steve Kerr as the human being, and what that's meant to the organization, what it's meant to the Bay Area. We are experiencing something that is so incredible that I don't know that we understand it, because it's like being with someone that you've been with for so long, you over time, it's natural to get anesthetized to their experience, or, you know, living with them and experiencing who they are. We get spoiled. We are so incredibly spoiled that I don't think we will actually truly understand this until we no longer have him around, you know, to enjoy. You know, in the way the world is today, this is such an incredible break for all of us that I am so incredibly humbled by the experience that I've been able to witness for the last decade plus. Having Jimmy Butler just made, I'm blown away by how well they've done the last, you know, couple weeks. The cumulative IQ has just gone up off the charts. And there's something special. After watching last night's game, I reached out to a few of my buddies that I haven't talked with in quite a while, and I just said, "Something's going on. This is different. They've got mojo. They really do." And I'm excited, and hopefully this will end like Draymond thought. One last thing: if somebody did not see the Iguodala speech, they need to watch or listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty powerful, pretty interesting stuff. And what he said about Steph was dead on, that Steph may know himself, but I don't think he really knows himself also.
Gary, great call. Thank you for making that call. We really appreciate having you on. I like when he talks about sort of not comprehending the depth of what we might be experiencing with Steph Curry, I'd respond with this. I don't think it's possible to. I don't think that you can fully grasp things like that when you're experiencing them. in the moment. It's just it's too
like for
much
for us or for him or for them.
Probably all of it, but I don't want to speak for him and the experience he's having because he is him. Like he's the one,
right?
He's doing it, and so that's a completely different thing. I just mean the gravity of an athlete and his place in history and what it all means in terms of context. I don't think you can know those things fully until they move on and you can have the feeling of missing them or not seeing it anymore. And sometimes you need that. You know, that's that old saying, if you don't know what you got till it's gone. Like, you're not going to really know what Warrior basketball without Steph Curry, what that is like until we experience it. And my guess is that there's even more gravity to this than we realize.
Right. And I do think that you can have that awareness and you can have a great appreciation because you don't know what's going to happen. And I think about Giants baseball when we got to the post-Bonds era where Barry Bonds was a show and you stopped what you were doing every time he was up and you can put it into the context of what he allegedly put into his body and whether or not you thought that that was real or fair or whatever. You can look at it that way. I looked at it as the greatest home run hitter of all time about to get an at-bat, and it was exciting, and you watched it, and then when he retired, you didn't know what was going to come, and what eventually came sooner rather than later was a dynasty.
Yep.
Three titles in
right.
5 years. So right. I'm not saying that you're going to get this out of the Steph Curry, but in the moment, I was appreciative of Barry Bonds, and I thought that he could have played another year or two. He thought so, too. And when it ended, you did have that emptiness of, man, I'm going to miss watching that. And with Steph Curry, whatever happens this year, playoff run, no playoff run, whatever, watching him play basketball and watching him be a part of this team is something very special. And he's about to be 37, and so we don't get to have this for forever. We might get two more, three more, four more. Could we get five more years of Steph Curry?
Oh, God.
I mean, you never know nowadays.
You don't know. That feels like a lot. But I guess that's kind of, we got on this conversation because that's sort of my number one reaction today, is there's a thankfulness and an excitement to the mere idea that after spending a year and a half, honestly now, go to your Warrior dark space. We spent a year and a half wondering if there was ever going to be another relevant game again. You really did. If you're honest with yourself, you did. We've spent a year and a half wondering if there was ever going to be another relevant game, and we made games relevant that were irrelevant. Oh, the play-in game at Sacramento, you lost by 100 points, and Clay staring at the sky. And that was simply to get to another play-in game. It's an irrelevant basketball game.
Only because they lost.
No, because even if they win, they might lose.
It was an elimination game.
Yeah, but
all that you guys have been telling me is the play-in tournament. It's a big deal.
No, it's fun, but it's not relevant in terms of what Steph Curry's talking about. They're talking about actual playoff relevance. A one game in a play-in tournament is irrelevant. That's not a big game in the great landscape of the NBA. And this year, they started out really nice, and then they fall to 500. And truly, I think very, even optimistic-minded people looked at this and went, come on, man. Like, they're too old. It's over. We're not doing this anymore. And now, today, it really looks like they're going to do that. I don't know what they're going to win, but those are going to be some, it looks like we're headed toward and experiencing some really relevant basketball at an age where we didn't know if we'd get that again. And the Jimmy Butler trade is the number one thing on the list to be thankful for that this is happening.
Yeah, and if you think about relevant, meaningful basketball and you want to skip ahead 20 games, and I know you don't, but when you think about what a playoff series might be, if you're the 5 seed and it's Memphis, sign me up for that because that's always a rivalry that is deep-seated. If you're the 6 and it's Denver, of course, you want that. If you happen to be the 7 and you take on the Lakers, well, that's monster as well. And if you get through around and you get OKC or the Lakers, I mean, no matter who you face in the Western Conference, there's intrigue, there's relevance, to use your word, there's rivalry, there's a lot of heat. So if the Warriors could just get to that, and that's what you were talking about all year, the Warriors just want to get Steph Curry a chance, get him an at-bat, yep, get him a bite of the apple. Well, it's looking like they're going apple shopping, and how do you like them apples? Because, well, they're going to be eating some apples here in April.
And as much as these are the two matchups that I hear a lot of Warrior fans say that they don't want, I think this also creates a real fascination with the race between Denver and the Lakers for that two seed. Because if that, think about what they're looking at. If I'm Denver and the Lakers, as much as, again, Warrior fans are afraid of that matchup, if I'm Denver and the Lakers, do I want the Warriors? Or do I want that two seed so that I can play the first team to come out of the play-in tournament, which is going to be some sort of concoction of Clippers or Kings or whatever?
Yeah, Minnesota.
Like, I mean, now Minnesota's an interesting squad.
Yep.
It may well end up being Houston, for crying out loud.
Yeah, maybe.
Minnesota and the Warriors both have the two easiest schedules. They're all healthy as well. And so I don't know. But if I'm Denver and the Lakers, I want no Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler. I do not want that showing up in the first round if I've got a chance to play Shingun or
don't hate on the goon.
Honestly, if I've got a chance to do that or take on DeMar DeRozan, like, yeah, let me avoid the Warriors, please.
Of course, LaVine and DeRozan, yes, or Steph and Jimmy, yeah, it's not even close. And that's where, you know, and I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but late in the year there might be some intrigue, there might be some lightweight shenanigans with teams trying to position themselves accordingly to get the matchup that's most favorable.
Do we take requests on this show?
Probably.
Okay, we got a request. 408. Mark, I haven't heard you in a while, but I'd like to hear you say you were wrong about the Butler trade. I was wrong about the Butler trade.
And you've already admitted to that.
I know, but he hadn't heard this in a while.
I know.
So 408, now you have to call and say, my bad for not listening to the show enough.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay?
Yeah.
If we're all going to be here admitting our mistakes, let's do it together.
Right.
I was wrong. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and I, to your point of the show today, like, did any of you think that it would be this good? My only concern was Grumpy Jimmy without an extension doesn't want to play here and ends up opting in, and now you're screwed. Well, he got traded, he got a new deal, and he's been Happy Jimmy, but did I think that they'd come out and be 10-1 in games he played? Come on, bro.
No,
the thing that I've admitted that I was wrong about was the notion that Steph can't do it every night anymore. And, well, Steph is now averaging almost 30 a game since Jimmy has come. So it turns out Steph actually can still do it every night. He just needs somebody to take the weight off his shoulders.
No doubt. I think we've learned this a lot, and this is one of the reasons, because I'm not going to say don't say people are washed, because sometimes they are. Like, it happens to every single player. But one thing that I'll never do, I'll never use these microphones to say, is to tell someone that they should retire. If somebody's offering them a job, I wouldn't. I would take the job and keep on playing. And that's kind of my spin on this idea of when we sort of flick people off, like, okay, they're done now. How many times do you do that? And then all of a sudden, something changes in the water. There's a new ingredient in the stew, and you're like, oh, they're not done anymore. I remember having that feeling about, like, this is random, but Curtis Martin. Curtis Martin, you're like, oh, dude, you're a running back, and you turned 30. So, yeah, you kind of had a bad year. You're done. And then he, like, went to the Jets or something changed, and he was awesome. He was awesome. Look, we did it in this town to Brady. I was right there, king of the keep Garoppolo. Why would we trade?
Oh, yeah.
Why would we trade Jimmy Garoppolo for Tom Brady?
Yeah, that one came back on you.
Garoppolo was fresh off of a Super Bowl appearance, and Brady looked like he was washed. How we doing with that take?
Oh boy, yeah.
So, like, for everybody in the Steph looks like he's really declining camp. 888-957-9570. No, he doesn't.
Well, not anymore.
No, he doesn't.
Not anymore.
They're not declining
now that he's
at
got
all.
Jimmy, the 56 in Orlando.
Steiny, get off vacation.
We need you.
He ain't declining.
Yeah.
At all. He's ascending at age 36.
He's now just 18 threes away from 4,000. And I heard Del Curry on with Tim Roy press table before the Charlotte game. And Del was talking about it. He's like, yep, 4,000's coming up. 4,000. It's like he's about to hit 4,000 threes. And right now he has an 876 three-point lead on number two, James Harden. So James ain't going to catch him.
He's the best, man.
Dame, it'd be hard-pressed for Dame to get there.
Dame's not going to do it.
Well, Steph's going to end up playing, I do think, a couple, two, three more years. And that's why I asked Steve Kerr about that. Like, have you thought about, like, if Steph is going to stay, are you going to stay, Steve? Because it feels like you guys are kind of linked. Like, I mean, as a coach, you want to walk away from this?
I think he's given us and others the wink, wink, nod, nod on this a couple of times now. He's leaving. He's leaving when Steph leaves.
When he leaves?
Yeah.
He's not leaving before?
No, probably not.
I don't think so.
Probably not, but I don't know what that number of years are, but maybe it's not decided yet. But he's not going to do this forever.
Right, but I don't think that he's leaving before.
Probably not.
I don't know how probably you not. Could or would.
Yeah, I don't know why. Well, I don't know why you would.
And I've heard Bob Fitzgerald kind of say the same thing about his gig, like, you know, I'm going to be here as long as Steph's here, and then we'll figure it out from there. Honestly, if you're doing...
He'll probably stay.
Maybe.
Bob will stay.
I mean, he doesn't have to.
No, he doesn't have to.
Bob does a lot of other things, and you can, you know, pick and choose your gigs and whatnot, but when you are a part of this, how could you possibly leave? Like, as a head coach, you're coaching Steph Curry, and the very idea of what he does, forget winning and losing, but to be able to coach that and watch that, night in and night out, that's got to be damn awesome.
He tells us every time. He still loves what he does. Still having a great time. He's out at a dinner and a Broadway show tonight in New York City. And getting, what's he getting, $16 million a year?
Yeah, something like that.
Come on, man. What? To do what? Retire to do what?
Yeah.
How old is Steve? Not even an old man.
He's not even 60.
Yeah.
He's, I think, 59. He might be 60, because I think he was class of 82 in high school, so he's damn near 60, but 60 is the new 50 now.
Yeah. Right? Ask Steiny. He's in Cancun. Let's go to Rob in Richmond. Hey, Rob, what's up?
Hey, fellas. How you guys doing today?
We're good, man.
Yep.
Right on. Hey, so earlier, Willard, you were asking, you know, what... Is there something that could end up, you know, throwing this off the rails in a year and a half? And I don't think the answer is yes on that. And the reason why I don't believe that is because I think if they win championships and they stay healthy, I think, and also there's levels to organizations. This is as good as it gets. You know, the Warriors, shout out, knockout event. That was a beautiful, beautiful thing we did on Monday. It was great meeting you guys. But I think that if the Warriors stay healthy and they win championships, Jimmy Butler is not going to be a disgruntled Jimmy Butler. He's going to be a completely different Jimmy Butler that, you know, we've experienced in the past. I think that this is a whole nother thing. And I think that that's why the energy behind it is so different and the vibes are so good. By the way, that was a great interview you guys did with Steve Kerr. Top notch. He does not get enough credit. It's just, you know, it's a beautiful thing to see. But at the end of the day, if they can stay healthy and they win championships, and when I say championships, I mean multiple, you're going to see a different Jimmy Butler come the end of an extension or whatever that looks like. It's just not going to look the same. The Warriors are different. Thank you, guys. You guys are great.
Rob, thank you. And while I'm not going to disagree with Rob, I think he sets the bar, quite frankly, too high. I think Jimmy can be happy without multiple championships. Like, to me, happiness for Jimmy Butler, and I don't know the man, but he got his extension. So check the box of I feel wanted and loved at work. So there's that, and everyone wants that. Then you need to enjoy the people you're working with. And at least in this honeymoon phase, he's got that. And then lastly, I think you want to feel like you've got a shot a continued shot at success. I don't think that these players demand from themselves that they win the title every year. That's not realistic. They know that. There's a self-awareness. It's like when Giannis was asked if he was a failure because he got knocked out of the playoffs. He's like, I don't know if you've looked around. Some other good players in the league, too. You know, this isn't, we don't just show up and roll the ball out there and win. So if the Warriors are continuing to win most of their games and they're having some success in the playoffs, if they fall a little short, I don't think you're going to get a disgruntled Jimmy Butler all of a sudden. He's got everything he asked for right now.
Yeah, which is money and talent around him. And
yeah, if and a
this,
shot.
And a shot. And yeah. If this continues and you get a real shot to do it, then that's great. And it's an organization that supports its players. So that should be what Jimmy's looking for. I do wonder about when we get through next year and he's down to the final year of his deal, if at that point Steph has gotten an extension another year and Draymond's gotten a little taste a little bit more, does Jimmy then say, hey guys, this is going so good, where's my $62 million?
Is it going so good? Is probably the question.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, let's see how it's going.
Well, so far it's going pretty well.
Going pretty good.
And if I'm Jimmy, I'm asking for an extension right now. 10-1 when I play?
He did. He did ask for an extension.
Tack on an extra year.
And he got it. And he got it. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. A lot more phone calls to get to. Keep them coming, okay? Did you see anything like this possible at all this quickly? 888-957-9570. That is the number on Willard and Dibbs.
Deep, straight on three. First down! He made it look stepperless, as the guys on Inside the NBA might say. That was 30 feet away, just right of center, and the Warriors lead by six.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, here we are. Steve Kerr joined us live from New York earlier today, and we didn't just get Steve Kerr live from New York. We got a little New York, too. We got some New York up in here. If you missed any of that conversation, it was a very good one. So Odyssey app, YouTube, or stay right where you are. And in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to run it back, y'all. Run it back, y'all. Run it back.
I love it.
Until then, we're talking Dubs basketball with you. 888-957-9570 on sort of like your level of surprise that it's gone like this. The Warriors are 9-1 with Jimmy Butler in the lineup and have gone 10-2 since the acquisition of Jimmy Butler. So just phenomenal, phenomenal basketball, seemingly vibes through the roof. And to me, life doesn't work this way. So I keep waiting for the bubble to burst, and it won't burst. It's actually going the other direction. Because last night was one of the nights where you'd look at it on paper and go, okay, right, this is like, this one's an understandable loss, back-to-back, all of that. And no, they keep doing things to sort of like earn our trust and make you realize this is a real thing. This is a real thing. And so here we are. And to me, it makes no sense. I'm not going to question it anymore, but things do not work this well, this quickly.
Not normally. Right, and it does kind of remind me a little bit of McCaffrey joining the Niners, where a good player joins an already good team, and they go from being good to being great to being phenomenal. I'm not saying that this is going to go the way that that went, but Jimmy Butler's impact, and I was telling you earlier about Brandon Podziemski and his plus-minus in the games since Jimmy's been here, and he's a plus-120 over 11 games, and I know one of them Jimmy didn't play, but he's a plus-11 per game. So Pods has got a 29, a 24, a 26. He's gone from being good to being unbelievable with Jimmy out there, and you could look at Moses Moody in a similar way, and you can look across the board. The players, Steph has been playing better. He's up 5 points a game. Draymond's back to being a near triple-double guy, a triple-single last night, 8, 8, and 9. And you go all the way around the horn. Quentin Post has been great, which makes me think that when Kuminga comes back, that Jonathan Kuminga is going to be able to fit right in and that his game is also going to be great with Jimmy Butler around.
Yeah, hope so. I mean, that's obviously the next big question that everyone's waiting for. Although, they're doing enough winning where it actually feels maybe a little bit less stressful than how it felt kind of a week ago. Also, not as imminent as we thought it was. I think that's why the conversation sort of fell on deaf ears, is we thought he was playing either in Charlotte or New York. And he's not. And he's not playing tomorrow night either. And that's actually already official. Kuminga is out tomorrow night. The rumors have been out there that Detroit at home on Saturday might be the return night, but Steve Kerr would not confirm that and said that's getting ahead of ourselves to talk about that at this point. He has not yet been cleared to play. And you do have to think that the way the Warriors are playing might be a factor in why the Warriors are slow playing this so much. They're not in search of anything right now. They're just like, who's on the schedule? Let's go.
Yeah, they're
Let's
humming. Play. Yeah, and if you're Kuminga, I'm sure you're champing at the bit a little bit because we are down now to just 20 games left in the regular season, and he wants to be a part of it. He won't play at Brooklyn tomorrow, as you just mentioned, so he'll have 19 games at the most if he comes back against Detroit on Saturday. And the good thing about this upcoming homestand is, one, it's a long one. You've got 7 games at home, and the 7 games span 13 days. So you're going to have a chance to, if he doesn't play against Detroit, you got a chance to practice on Sunday with some people, maybe some of the reserves and coaches that Steve likes to put out there. You play Monday against Portland, then you have 2 days off. So you don't have a lot of games running up in a row. You do have Denver and Milwaukee on an interesting home back-to-back, which is the 17th and 18th right there as we head into March Madness. And those will be tough games no matter who's out there. But you do have a little bit of a long stretch at home. You've got 2 weeks at home where you can still kind of ease him back into it.
Yeah, and so I think a lot of it becomes kind of fly by the seat of your pants because you can look at how the team is doing, how the ankle's doing. I'm sure that whenever they do stick him back in there, it's really going to be just that. It's going to be dip toe in water. Like, I probably less than 20 minutes in that particular game because now you want to both protect his ankle. And let's be real, you got to protect what you got. You got something here.
Yeah, you got something cooking.
You got to protect it. And I'd say that no matter who it was returning to the game. You know, we did this at times over the last year and a half with Draymond coming back from injury or suspension. And there was a game or two where he came off the bench because he was like, I volunteered. He goes, we're humming, and I'm not here to mess that up. And so same thing with Jonathan Kuminga. Let's go to Dan in Daly City. Hey, Dan, you're on with Willard and Dibs. What's up?
How you doing? I would like to say that Steph Curry is a blessing from the basketball gods. We are all blessed to have him here and for on and off the court. If you're a lifelong fan, you know this. And if you're a newer fan, younger, unfortunately, you will learn it when he's gone.
No doubt about it, Dan. Dan, thank you very much for the call. I mean, we were talking earlier with regard to can you actually like fully understand the gravity until he's gone? I mean, maybe not, and maybe not even then. I just, like Steve said it earlier, the most unique basketball player of all time. I'm struggling to label the whole thing, man. You know, with Shaq's comments last night, we keep referencing it. We should let everybody hear him again. This is from TNT last night.
As the supreme leader of the Big Man Alliance, I demand you fans to start putting Steph Curry in that greatest of all time conversation. I demand it.
Why does the Big Man Alliance need to say something?
Because I am the supreme leader and my voice counts. And I'm saying, listen, I played against Mike, played with Kobe, played against and with LeBron. They're all great. But at some point, we're going to have to put Steph Curry in that category. I'm not saying he is, but let's just have the conversation. Like, I like all the internet talk and the barbershop talk, but I ain't never seen nothing like that before, and nobody has.
There it is from Shaq, and you love it. You love that kind of talk when it comes from somebody who has, and I, no pun intended, that kind of weight.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny when he says that because when Shaq came along, he was doing things that we had never seen before. Yes, we had seen dominant big men. Wilt Chamberlain averaged 50 points a game, for crying out loud. So we had seen dominant big men, but when Shaq came in, they came up with a term to, and even a way of living to try to stop him. It was called hack a Shaq because you couldn't guard Shaq in the low block, and so all you could do was foul him, and he actually changed the game in a way that Steph Curry changed the game. Shaq was so dominant that they had to change the rules to prevent you from doing the things that they were doing to him defensively, where they would foul him before he even got the ball, and that became, you know, something where you got shots, free throws, and the ball out of bounds because the hack of Shaq was becoming such a problem for the league. Teams were just fouling him. So for Shaq, a guy who actually did change the league, to talk about Steph in that same vein, it does have, to your point and your words, it does have extra weight because Shaq was a player who definitely changed the game.
888-957-9570. Carter and El Cerrito next up. Hi, Carter. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. Believe me, I'm not surprised that Jimmy Butler made a difference. And if you look, where did Miami come from? How come they were in the playoffs? How come they were in the finals? It was because of Jimmy Butler. And if you look at how come the Celtics didn't make it the year before, last was because Jimmy Butler took them apart with about 2 minutes to play. So it doesn't surprise me at all. He stole the ball. He made a three-pointer and was fouled, and the Celtics didn't make it. So the Celtics had to change their whole team because of Jimmy Butler.
All due respect, though, on this one, Carter, like, appreciate it very much. I think what you're saying is Jimmy Butler's really good at basketball, and we knew that. That's not what this is. I still find it totally surprising, and I think you're underselling what's happening with the Warriors right now. Because this isn't that simple. Just because you're good, like a really good player, does not mean you just go to another team and click and win every game. Is Kevin Durant good? Good player?
Oh, yeah.
Champion? Game-changing type player? Is Devin Booker good? Because they suck right now.
Yeah. Well, they're like, totally broken.
Yes, that's the point.
Yeah.
Hell of a win last night.
Yes, and thank you, Suns, for that victory coming from behind over the Clippers.
Down 23 late in the third.
I guess was that the biggest comeback in franchise history in the fourth quarter? I was watching the game. That's what the sideline reporter said after the game. She grabbed Kevin Durant. She's like, that was biggest comeback in the history of this team in the fourth quarter.
And he said, and who are you?
His eyebrows went, whoo. Like, he had a little moment where he's like, oh, okay.
Who are you?
Yeah. And then he said, who are you? And I don't remember who she was. But anyway.
That's fine.
Yeah. Game over. Suns win. Good for the Warriors. But that's all I'm saying. Like, I don't want to undersell it that way. Jimmy being good, this is so much more than that. To have this kind of chemistry at the snap of a finger.
It's Jimmy being good and Jimmy making other people that much better. And I think that is the part that you can quantify, but you also can't really quantify it. And I'm just looking at some of the numbers since he's joined the team. You're shooting 4 more free throws a game, which automatically right there has led to 5 more points a game. Instead of 15 for 20 before Jimmy, now you're 20 for 24 from the foul line. So he gets to the line, and you as a team are making more free throws, and you were averaging 14 turnovers a game, and now you're averaging just 12. So turnovers down, free throws up, and confidence of the others, the role players, is at an all-time high.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 888-957-9570. We'll keep taking your phone calls. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer.